So this morning, as you've gathered, as you've known, if you're a part of the Life of Gospel Church, as you've gathered, if you're visiting here and have been paying attention, this morning is very exciting. Something really exciting is happening in the Life of Gospel Church this morning. Something that we have asked God for a long time, something that I have asked God for since Gospel Church was just a glimmer in my eye. From the beginning of the planting of this church, about 12 years ago, I've asked that God would let us be a church planting church, a church that starts other churches for God's glory, that we would be used by God here in Durango to disciple this town and also beyond through the nurturing and sending of church planters to start more churches. That's part of the goal. It always has been, and we hope by God's grace it always will be a part of who we are. God has blessed us with Gospel Church Bayfield over the years, a church plant in the next town over in Bayfield, which had many fruitful years of ministry, which are now bearing more fruit in a different way, as the Tulleries, who had planted that church, are now ministering to First Baptist Church in Bayfield after they had lost their pastor. So make sure you keep praying for the Tulleries, who are still doing good gospel work in Bayfield, though the Lord has changed our direction there. But now this morning, we get the blessing of commissioning yet another church, New Covenant Church in Denver. So as we lead up to this commissioning, I want to take some time to show why from God's Word we're doing this. Why are we planting churches? Why are we starting more churches? Why not just hunker down here? Why not just build strength right where we're at? What are we doing? What are we thinking? Why are we doing it? My goal is to help us see the absolute glory and joy of what God's allowing us to do this morning as we commission New Covenant Church officially. And then, as you may have noticed, then we'll say goodbye in the coming weeks as they actually pack up and move. But I want us to see the glory and the joy of church planting this morning, because it's easy for the initial reaction and feeling to be sadness. John just led us in the last song that he will lead us in. That's sad. We're sending away dear friends, like Matt said, wonderfully godly brothers and sister, cute kids, an elder, a music leader, servants and examples and strength. We're sending it away. And I want to remind us of what we're doing and why we're doing it so that we're able to rejoice in faith even as we work through the sorrows of saying goodbyes and the challenges of sending away leaders and godly brothers and sisters. And so for this, we're going to look somewhere you might not expect. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. Let's read God's word together. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." The end. So we're going to focus on Genesis 1, 28, 26 and 27, or just for context. We're going to be meditating on Genesis 1, 28 this morning, and we're going to see some broad things about what we're doing here. The first question Genesis 1, 28 tells us is, what are we here for? Why are you on this earth? Why have you been given the gift of life? Why do you exist? We want to be a people who ask and think about the big questions of life from time to time, who have true answers clear in our minds about the big, important questions of life, and then who arrange our lives around the big and important answers to the big and important questions. Like, what are we here for? What's life about? chief among those big questions, I think, is what are we here for? You have this wonderful gift of life. What are you supposed to do with it? We're in this open world. Is there a mission? Are there aims and goals we should be working towards? What are the aims and goals? What is your life for? And then the book of Genesis gives us the answers to these types of big picture questions. Who are we? We are men and women created together in God's image. That's what we read. Men and women created together in God's image. We are created to reflect and image God on the earth, to bear His likeness. As men and women, as two distinct complementary types of people, we reflect God in our rule and in righteous character. So who are you? You are created by God to be a good king or queen of the earth under Him. That's what Genesis 1 tells you it is to be made in the image of God, to rule. So that's who you are. God blessed them, and He said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." So what is the first thing that God does when He creates mankind in His image, male and female? What's the first thing He does? Genesis 1:28. "And God blessed them." Right off the bat, God smiles on His people. He speaks His favor over them. He blesses them. Because we are designed, first and foremost, to be in happy relationship with God, glorifying God and enjoying Him forever. You are designed to receive the blessing of God, to delight in it, to rejoice in it, and to respond with thanksgiving and with honor and with worship that He deserves for giving you life. That's primarily what you're for. But what are we doing here? What's your life about? What are you supposed to do? God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." God gave us a mission in what theologians call the cultural mandate. This mission in Genesis 1:28 is foundational to what human life is for. The mission is twofold. There are two things that we are given to do on the earth. As creatures blessed by God, there's two things, there's two missions that you have. What's your life for? Why are you here? What are you supposed to be doing? When you wake up in the morning, what should you be pursuing and going after? There's two things. Be fruitful and subdue the earth. Be fruitful and subdue the earth. First, be fruitful. He says specifically, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. There's three ways of saying the same thing. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. So how are you supposed to be fruitful? Are you supposed to have apricots that grow on your arms and from the ends of your fingers? Weird. No, what does it refer to? How are you supposed to be fruitful? Have kids. How many? Lots. Doesn't say a number. Lots. How many pieces of fruit do you want your tree to have if you plant a tree? If you plant a fruit tree in your yard, how much fruit do you want it to have? You want it to be fruitful. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. You want lots of fruit. When you plant a fruit tree, you hope for lots of fruit. So the first part of the mission is be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Do you see this as central to what it is to be a human being, to the mission that you have been given? Secondly, subdue the earth. You wake up in the morning, be fruitful, and start taking dominion over the earth. Fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Subdue the earth is the first thing he says. The Garden of Eden, in which Adam and Eve were placed, was ordered. It was well ordered. It was beautiful. It was irrigated. It had lots of fruit. It was fruitful. The rest of the world was pretty wild. And so Adam and Eve were sent to go fill it and subdue it, to tame it. They were to go out into the wild world and to bring it into order, to make it like the Garden of Eden, to take the pattern God had showed them and to spread it to the ends of the earth, to tame a wild world, which, as it turned out, even included a dragon. The world before the fall wasn't just laying around, eating fruit, or sitting in quiet contemplation. Even before the fall, there was work to do. There was a mission. I'm sure there was plenty of laying around, eating good fruit, contemplating the mysteries of God, but there was more than that. There was something that they were supposed to do, a mission to subdue the earth. And it says, have dominion. Dominion refers to lordship. It refers to rule. That's why I said, who are you? You are a king or a queen in God's image. You are supposed to have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, and every living thing that moves on the earth. Why does it list all of those things? We read that and we think that's a weird thing to say. Why are we talking about the fish and the birds and the beasts of the earth? But in the biblical cosmology, in the biblical view of the world is a three-storied house. It's a three-storied house. You have the sea, it's the lowest level, and then you have the land, and then you have the heavens, what we call the sky. The 6 days of creation of the world formed each of those three stories in 3 days and then filled each of those three stories in order in the next 3 days. So over the 6 days of creation, we formed God. You know, we see God forming the sea and the land and the heavens and then filling them one by one. And that culminates in creating mankind in God's image and then calling him to fill the earth and have dominion over the whole house, rule the whole place. So when he says, the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, and the beasts of the field, he's saying the whole thing, all of the creation is yours to rule, to have dominion over. Go and take dominion. Rule well. Rule isn't a bad word. Dominion isn't a bad word. It's a wonderful and good thing. And Jesus came and taught us how rule and dominion is done, how to do it well. We are to fill the earth and rule over it. So those are your two missions. You're born into this world, and it's just kind of a open world. You go wherever you want, do whatever you want, in a sense. But is there a mission? Is there something you're supposed to do? Yes, you're supposed to fill the earth and subdue it. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion and rule. Now, what does any of this have to do with church planting, commissioning a new church, new covenant church, and what we're up to this morning? Much in every way. So now I want to take a little bit of time to talk about, so remember we call that the cultural mandate. Theologians call that twofold mission given to mankind, the cultural mandate. This is what you're created for. Now I want to talk about the cultural mandate 2.0. Because the cultural mandate given to Adam continues to apply to us. We should be fruitfully having children and subduing and ruling over the earth. This is good mission for us. But in the second Adam, the first Adam failed his task, plunged the world into sin and ruin and misery. And so a second Adam came, a second head of a new creation. And in the second Adam, the cultural mandate also metamorphosizes into the mandate 2.0, taken to the next level. Here's what one commentator said about Genesis 1:28. The first Adam, commanded to be fruitful and to rule over the beast, at last became the servant of the serpent who brought forth sons of death. The last Adam rules over the beast by slaying the dragon, the serpent of old, and even now is filling the earth with a spiritual seed, the sons of eternity. So where Adam and Eve failed in their mission, Christ, whom the Bible calls the second Adam, the head of a new creation, succeeds. Adam failed along with Eve when they rebelled against God, took the fruit, submitted themselves to the dragon, submitted themselves to their desires for the things of the earth, tried to rebel against God, and essentially didn't do any of the things God had called them to. Adam failed along with Eve, but the second Adam succeeds. And the second Adam is the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of a new creation. So Adam and Eve failed the original mandate. Now a second Adam comes and fulfills it, but is there a second Eve? There's a second Adam in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there a second Eve? Yes. Paul says this in Ephesians 5, 31 to 32. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. So, he's quoting Genesis chapter 2 about Adam and Eve coming together and being one. And then he says, that mystery of Adam and Eve coming together and being one refers to Christ and the church. Adam and Eve represent the greater Adam and his bride, the church. The second Eve is the church. It is us together. And so in Christ, in the cultural mandate 2.0, we are called to fill the earth and to rule over the earth, just like the first Adam was, but in a transformed way. As the commentator said, the last Adam rules over the beast by slaying the dragon, the serpent of old, and even now is filling the earth with a spiritual seed, the sons of eternity. You'd expect the Bible to say this somewhere. If we're reading this right, if that cultural mandate is ramped up to 2.0 and the second Adam, you'd expect the Bible to bring together ruling and filling the earth as the mission of Christ and his church together. You'd expect it to give us that mission and explain that somewhere as the cultural mandate 2.0. And so it does. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority, rule, in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. This is the mission that Jesus has given to the church. This is the mission that Jesus gave to us, and it has to do with rule and multiplication, doesn't it? All authority has been given to Christ, the second Adam, not just on earth, but even in heaven. We don't yet see all things under his feet, but we see him exalted to his throne at the right hand of God. And so we, the second Eve, teach all the nations to obey him. We disciple the children. Christ has been given all rule. He's seated on the throne in heaven, ruling over all heaven and earth. And it's our job as his bride to teach all the nations to submit to his rule, to subdue the earth under the rule of Christ. And as part of that, we are to be fruitful for him, filling the earth with spiritual children who are born again by his word. So we baptize all the nations in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We bring them through the waters. We proclaim the gospel and see people born again to God in Christ as we bear fruit for him. It doesn't supplant the cultural mandate, but it expands it, takes it to the next level. So, how are we fruitful for God? What does it look like for us to be fruitful as the second Eve and multiply and fill the earth? The cultural mandate was given to Adam and Eve together. Both of them together were to carry out both of these tasks. They worked together to fulfill it, but each Adam and Eve were uniquely suited for one of those tasks, weren't they? Adam would subdue and rule the earth with his strong back and dominion mindset, rounded out by his queen, who was a necessary helper for him. Eve, on the other hand, was uniquely suited to bear fruit and to multiply, having been given a womb and breasts and a nurturing mindset, but she couldn't do that apart from her husband, apart from Adam, apart from her king. Neither was to do their task without the other, but they were each uniquely suited to half of that task, to one of the two tasks, Adam to rule and Eve to fill. But they both need one another to do those things. And so, in a similar way, the church as the bride is uniquely suited to filling the earth with spiritual children for Christ. This is what we are uniquely designed for, uniquely crafted for, uniquely suited for, filling the world with spiritual children for Christ. And we want to be a fruitful bride. And while bearing children is hard, can I get an amen? Thank you. That's good. Some of the new moms are still at home dealing with the hardness of that, I think. While bearing children is hard, it's also totally worth it. There's an even greater amen. Because children are a blessing from God. And so we read earlier and we sang Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Remember when God created Adam and Eve, and then he blessed them, and then he told them to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. So here is, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. You shall be blessed, and it will be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Children are a blessing from God. And here the blessing is pronounced on the man who fears the Lord. Now, who is the man who fears the Lord more than anyone else? The Lord Jesus Christ. Though no one has ever feared the Lord like Jesus has feared the Lord. Jesus is God, but he's also fully man. As man, he feared the Lord perfectly. And so as the man who perfectly fears the Lord, will Jesus' wife be like a fruitful vine in his house with his children like olive shoots compassing his table round? Absolutely he will. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. And Christ has feared the Lord perfectly, and so Christ's table is filled. His wife is fruitful. Now, we know that barrenness plays a role in all of this. Remember Isaiah 54, sing, O barren one who did not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not been in labor, for the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her who is married, says the Lord. So barrenness is no obstacle to this. Often it's the actual preparation to be even more fruitful. So if you hear that and you think, the man who fears the Lord, but I don't, my wife isn't fruitful, or my table isn't filled with children all around like olive shoots, just wait. Just wait. The Lord blesses even more out of barrenness than he does out of an abundant womb. Think of Abraham, the great father of faith. We all have come from the promises given to Abraham and his wife Sarah, and Abraham, whose name was exalted father, must have had tons of kids, right? No, his wife was barren into old age. His name was somewhat of a joke, but look at the offspring that Abraham has now. In this room and around the world, we are all called children of Abraham. Look what God can do. So God blesses the one who fears him with a fruitful wife and children like olive shoots around the table. We see that barrenness plays a role in all of this, but we also see that the promise is that barrenness will eventually become more fruitful to show the power and the glory of God, like he did with Abraham and Sarah. Fruitfulness is the reward. A fruitful, abounding wife is the reward, and there are different paths it takes to get there. And as the church, the bride of Christ, who uniquely feared the Lord, Jesus uniquely feared the Lord, and so we, the church, are and will be a most fruitful bride for him. And as the church bears individual Christians and individual disciples, we fulfill this glorious mandate of fruitfulness. And since this is a corporate calling, something for all of us united together as one body, for the people of God all together as the second Eve, I believe that the planting of a new church is a huge part of this fruitfulness of the bride of Christ for his glory, because he is the man who fears the Lord. And so, by God's grace, we at Gospel Church have the blessing of birthing a new church today, which will lead to more disciples around the world as the church is called and sent to make disciples for our King. So today, as we commission New Covenant Church, there is pain. There's pain. And yet, this is life and joy and glory, and this is central to what our lives are for. This is what we were made for, and this is what we were recreated for as the church, as the bride of Christ, to bear children for him. When a woman is giving birth, Jesus said, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Do you know about that sorrow when the hour has come? Okay, here we go. And the sorrow comes, it's hard, there's pain, there's trouble. Everybody starts praying because it's difficult. And yet, when she's delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Now, our state and our country today is seriously lacking in strong, solid, healthy, faithful, vibrant churches. They're few and far between. They're hard to find. And it's not fitting that Christ the King doesn't have a fruitful, abounding bride. And so it's a glory and an honor and a joy to get to deliver a healthy, strong, faithful, solid church into the world today by God's power and for His glory. This is actually central to the purpose and the existence of the church on earth, is to bear children for God. And so we rejoice at the honor that Christ is bestowing on us this morning and the opportunity that this is to bear a new church for the glory of God. We may multiply, we may be fruitful, that we may fill the earth with spiritual children for Christ. And we do it in faith. We do it in faith that God will supply our every need. Because one of the things about having a child is that it's scary, isn't it? It's scary to have a child. You really start asking, do I have what I need to provide for a child? Do I have what I need in every way? Like financially, in terms of stability, in terms of my spiritual leadership, do I have what I need to rightly raise a child? It makes you really start wondering, am I going to be able to provide? Am I going to be able to do this well? And the wonderful thing for us is that as we look to our head, the Lord Jesus Christ, He promises that He will supply for our every need as we birth a church plant for His glory. Christ Jesus is the one primarily responsible for providing and protecting for His household. Isn't that encouraging? We're going to birth a church that will birth more and more disciples for Christ. We think, will we be able to do this? John, will you be able to plant a church? Will you be able to lead a church well? Yes. And we remember that Jesus is the one ultimately responsible to provide for and to protect His own household. And so we look to Him in faith, knowing that He will do so. Listen to 2 Corinthians 9 again. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he's decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that, having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Do you think he could have said all and every any more times than he did there? God is able to make all grace abound to you so that, having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Can we send out a church plant? Can we send out strength? Can we take great healthy seeds we have and throw them to the wind and still remain strong and still grow ourselves and still carry out the mission that God has given to us? Absolutely. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that, having all sufficiency in all things and at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he is distributed freely. He is given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. As you sow bountifully into the kingdom of God with money, with people, with energy, and with time, and all of these are things we are funneling into New Covenant Church for the good of Denver and the people there, that they may know Christ, and for the glory of God, that he may have a fruitful wife. As we sow all those things into New Covenant Church, God will cause us to reap bountifully. Do you believe it? God will make all grace abound to us so that, having all sufficiency in all things at all times, we may abound in every good work. Do you believe it? God will supply and multiply our seed for sowing. So you get a bunch of seeds. Imagine a guy, a farmer, who got a bunch of seeds and thought, these are wonderful seeds that I have. These are the healthiest seeds I've ever seen. I'm going to tie these up, put a zip tie around them, lock them down, and keep them in the closet, because I can't just take all these wonderful seeds and just go throw them into the dirt. I need these seeds. They're wonderful. They're great. They're so potent. What would you think of that farmer? He would be a fool. Take them out and throw them. You have seeds so that you can sow them, so that you can grow a crop. And when the crop grows, what does it yield? It yields fruit, and that fruit is filled with more seeds. The seeds multiply when you sow them, not when you hang on to them and put them in the shed. They multiply when you plant them, when you sow them. And so God promises that he will supply and multiply our seed for sowing and increase the harvest of our righteousness, and we will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which will produce thanksgiving to God. And so as we send away all of this strength, all of this health, and we throw it out there to see what God will do with it, we believe that he will produce a harvest of righteousness, that he will multiply our seed for sowing. Imagine if you had a son and you gave him seeds and he refused to go and plant them and he kept them in his shed. Would you give him more seeds? Think, like, go ahead and plant the ones I already gave you. Once you do that, then maybe I'll entrust you with more. But you don't know what seeds are for. You don't know what to do with them. I'm not going to give you more. But God will supply and multiply our seed for sowing and increase the harvest of our righteousness, and we will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which will produce thanksgiving to God. Do you believe it? So this is what we're doing. We are planting the seeds for the kingdom of God. We are multiplying and being fruitful for the glory of Christ, because we want to be a fruitful vine in the house of the Lord. Doesn't Jesus deserve the most fruitful vine that there is? Doesn't he deserve a table just filled with strong beautiful, healthy children who honor and respect and love him and who multiply and grow until the earth is absolutely overtaken with them. Amen. And will he do it? He will. And we get to play a part in this. And what a blessing that he is giving to us. What a blessing and an honor that he is entrusting to us this very morning. And so the hour has come. Let's do this thing. So New Covenant Church and Gospel Church elders and the overlap between those two, will you all come up and stand up here with me at this time? Jarrett, all Helvoites if you can. Jarrett. Up here, if you will. So now we are going to formally commission a specific new church. These people will no longer be members of Gospel Church Durango when we're done. A new church officially begins today as we commission them, as we send them. So, New Covenant Church. We believe that God himself has brought this church into existence for as long as he sees fit for his glory in the Denver area and to the ends of the earth. Do you commit to be faithful to Jesus Christ, your head, and to seek his glory and his mission as long as you live by his Spirit? Amen. Gospel Church members, will you stand up? And I'm going to ask you to carry out this commissioning of this church. This is an act that we will carry out by saying amen together as we commission a new church. So, New Covenant Church, we commission you as your own local church, standing on the church's one foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Jonathan Helvoit, we commission you as an elder of New Covenant Church to seek the glory of the Father and the gospel of the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit, and to remain faithful to the call of elder all your days. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Jonathan Helvoit, Ryan Helvoit, Jarrett Roster, we commission you as members of New Covenant Church. We transfer your membership over from Gospel Church to New Covenant Church to serve her faithfully and to lay a strong foundation of faith and love in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's now all go stand here in front of the communion table, and whoever wants, come up and pray, lay hands on these guys, and pray for them, and pray for God's blessing on New Covenant Church. Anybody who wants, feel free to come on up, gather around. Tommy, get in there. You guys, New Covenant Church, kind of stand in a clump in front of the communion table. Everybody else, gather around. If the whole church wants to come up, you can. You don't have to. Anybody who wants, come on up. Lay hands on them, and let's take a few minutes to pray for God's blessing on them and on New Covenant Church. Let's pray. So a few concluding remarks on what this looks like going forward. The Helvoits will have one more Sunday here as visitors, no longer members of Gospel Church. We'll welcome them. As you heard in the announcements, we'll move our fellowship meal back up 1 week so that we can end with a party, a celebration, a feast for them. So that's if you wondered why we're commissioning them today and then fellowshipping next week, but this is how it all worked out. So we'll celebrate them. We'll have a going away party after worship next week and our fellowship meal, bring their favorite foods. Be praying for them, and then we will help them move Friday morning, June 2nd, and they will go. Jarrett is wrapping up some work here. Jarrett will stay around until mid-July, so we'll have him with us here as a member of New Covenant Church here. We'll watch over him. We'll do our best to take care of him. And the Helvoites will be up in Denver doing membership interviews with a team that they've been assembling there and a group that they already have there as a core of the church. So they'll be there doing that. We'll send Jarrett up mid-July. And then Addie Miller will be going off to school in Denver in the fall. And while we didn't commission her off, because I think she'll probably hold her membership here while she's in college, but she will be up there supporting the work of New Covenant Church as of this fall. And so we'll be sending her up to help and encourage and strengthen there. And so we are grateful for that and to just be able to send strength. And she's already, I hear, gathering future roommates and making plans to bring them to New Covenant Church. So what a blessing she is and will be to that church as well. We at Gospel Church want to do a good job of supporting New Covenant Church, and so the leaders have plans to stay in close contact with them. We ask all of you to continue to support them diligently in prayer, financially, relationally, with visits, etc. When you're up in Denver, go check in with them, go worship with them, encourage them. They will be starting in their living room as they build their core group up, and when they get to the right size, then they will kind of officially launch Sunday morning services, and we'll keep in touch about when that happens, and when that does, maybe we can send a team up there to be there for their first formal worship service to kind of lend some strength to that as well. So there's lots that will keep going on. We'll do our best to keep you updated and just keep praying and keep supporting them as they go. Christ has conquered. Sin, death, and Satan have been defeated in the death and resurrection of Christ. He has forgiven us for our sins. He has reconciled us to God. He has welcomed us into his kingdom and the glorious mission of discipling the nations for him, of bringing every knee to bow to the name of Jesus and every tongue to confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We thank God for his grace to let us bear fruit for him and with him. So New Covenant Church, may your sons in their youth be like plants full grown, your daughters like corner pillars cut for the structure of a palace. May your granaries be full, providing all kinds of abundance. May your sheep bring forth thousands and ten thousands in your fields. May your cattle be heavy with young, suffering no mishap or failure in bearing. May there be no cry of distress in your streets. Blessed are the people to whom such blessings fall. Blessed are the people whose God is Yahweh. Amen. Amen.